This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know what I always like to say? Hey. Yeah, that's it. That's what I like to say. What you got to say? We anticipate Paul Conrad joining us since it's Monday morning. But I didn't do my due diligence this morning. I don't even know if he's working today. Paul gets 47 weeks of vacation a year.
He gets a lot.
And good for him. Good for him for taking this company to the cleaners. Do we know if we have Paul? All right, we'll have Paul next week. Let's move on. 6:14. And coming up later in the program, we've got to spend some time, and Ryan Burrell will join us as well. But you covered this story this weekend on Paul O'Neill.
Yeah.
This is the kid that was shot. And the report you've heard all weekend was he's an unarmed black teenager shot by police. A story that you've heard in various terms, depending on the age of the person who was shot, mm-hmm. over and over again. What you're not hearing, and I'm not saying you didn't do this, because I'm sure you did.
No.
You report on this.
Not at all.
What you're not hearing is the kid stole a car. The kid stole a car and then used the car as a weapon against mm-hmm. the police. Mm-hmm. So is this an overcorrection by the police, or is it a fair investigation by the police that they've immediately suspended these cops? And this video that was released, by the way, doesn't help in any way, shape, or form.
No, I agree.
Did that have to be released immediately before any investigation has taken place? What do we know?
I question that exactly, why this video was released, number one, and why it was released during this time. And the only thing I can think is that the three officers, actually there were four officers, who were part of this whole chase and then the shooting at the end of Paul O'Neill. But three have been placed not only on desk duty, but they've been stripped of their police powers. And this is the first time that's happened. Normally when IPRA, Independent Police Review Board, Review Authority, when they look over something like this and the investigation is ongoing, they put them on desk duty.
Right,
they're
still cops.
Don't strip them. Yeah. And in this case, Eddie Johnson took a step further, saying, you know what, they're all going to be suspended, they're going to be stripped of their powers until this investigation is complete. But you're right, the video, I don't know why it was released. I don't know why it's being portrayed as, yes, he was African-American, but you also have to remember the three police...
What do you think? The color doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if he's white, brown, yellow, or black. He stole a car. And he rammed it into the police as they were chasing him.
He also led police on a very pretty high-speed chase through a residential neighborhood, got out of the car, led them on a foot chase as well. And then we found out over the weekend that the body cameras that they were using, you know, a lot of people, advocates are saying, hey, police officers should be wearing these body cams, which they were. It had only been 3 or 4 days that these officers had. These are brand new, and they're still learning how to work them. So now if some critics are saying, oh, well, the body cameras weren't working, or there was a portion
of the video obviously came from the body cameras, because it's shaky video as a cop is running.
Exactly, and one is when one officer is trying to hop a fence, too. So you're not going to have these perfect pictures of exactly what happened. Let me just say this, though, too, Steve. There was no tampering. There was nothing foul about any of the video, because there were some allegations this weekend of, the video was tampered with. It wasn't. This video was not tampered with.
Look, if the police broke police established rules about when you're supposed to fire your weapon, that needs to be dealt with, obviously. But let's not hold this kid up as some pillar of decency in society. Mm-hmm. He stole a car. He used the car as a weapon against the police. If you don't think that amps up a situation that could lead to somebody being killed, then you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. And again, it doesn't matter if he's black, white, brown, yellow, or whatever color he is. What matters is he committed the crime, and the police were chasing him at that point.
Crimes.
Everything beyond that is absolutely worthy of an investigation. But the way it's being portrayed to you and everybody else, outside of the report that you filed this weekend, because mm-hmm. I don't know anybody else did that depth, is this is another unarmed black teenager shot by cops, and he was mowed down and he was murdered. Stop it. That's not what happened.
I saw a criminal justice expert over the weekend saying just being run over, attempted to be run over by a vehicle, allowed the police to use deadly force.
Well, it should in and of itself be indicative of that, because that's a weapon.
Right.
If you try to run me over, I have a right to defend myself.
Yeah.
When you hit me with your car.
Sorry about that, by the way.
So what else did you see when you reported on it this weekend?
Well, we also covered the Martin Luther, you know, on the on the flip side of it, too, there were peaceful protests as well. There was a Martin Luther King rally on Marquette Park where they dedicated a brand new, beautiful living memorial to Martin Luther King. So there was a lot of protesters out there as well. Jesse Jackson, Michael Flager also using that demonstration rally as a platform to bring it up again and reference the fact that police officers should be held accountable for their actions.
Where is Reverend Jackson and Father Flager in saying what I just said and what we're talking about here? What about holding the community to account? What about saying, yeah, if police committed crimes here, these crimes have to be dealt with, but this young man stole a car. Yep. And we cannot have any of our kids, black, brown, white, yellow, stealing cars and not expecting to have altercations with police.
That's a very, very fair and valid
point. So where
point.
Are you, Absolutely. Reverend Jackson? Where are you, Father Flager? Where is any of the community leaders speaking up about that?
Yeah, and when these officers are going through this situation, too, you know, not to take a side on any of this, but when they're going through the situation, you don't know what you're going to do in a situation.
No, be a cop. Be a cop. Go ahead, be a cop.
Right.
Be a cop. You've done it before. I've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Ride with these guys.
Right.
See what they don't react to. See what they stand down from 24 hours a day. Now you go do the job. And again, I am not, like you just said, I'm not vouching for these cops. I don't know them. I don't know if they broke the law and broke rules. I don't know if this is an overreaction or appropriate reaction by the superintendent. But I know this kid was a criminal. And I know he started the situation that amped it up to a position where the bad things that happened could have happened. So let's tell the whole truth, not just show a video again because we have it. Texters 217, a shooting connected with a crime has happened numerous and almost every time. You've never been so vocal. What show are you listening to? I don't know what you're listening to.
Talk about this
if you're listening to Eric and Kathy, maybe you caught them or Steve Harvey or somebody. I don't know. This is how I talk. This is my opinion. This is what I say every time. Take responsibility for your kid, your kids. That's it. 708, thank you for expressing both sides of the black and white issue. And by the way, I don't think it's a black and white issue. I think it's a crime and cops issue. 630, what about your own station starting every newscast for 3 days with the same inflammatory lines, police shoot unarmed teen? Well, that's absolutely right. And I heard that this weekend. We were running headlines like that all weekend. That's lazy and bad writing by our newsroom, and that's got to stop. And it just goes on and on because, and here's and a lot of thank yous. Listen, the thank yous are nice, but what we need is not thank yous. What we need is people getting involved. This kid was not a victim. This kid was a criminal. The actions that took place by police have to be investigated, and if the police committed a crime, they have to pay for it. But showing a video, and we do this every time now. Oh, we got a video. Oh, put the video on. Put it on fast.
That's why I don't understand why IPRA releases these. I mean, they're...
That's what I mean about an overreaction. I don't get it.
Inflammatory and they're insightful.
Well, you made a point, too, a minute ago that I hadn't thought about. What about the police having to chase this kid through neighborhoods where other innocent people are?
Right. Residential streets, blowing stop signs, hitting cars, sideswiping.
So the kid now has placed a bunch of other innocent people in danger.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what Reverend Jackson or Father Flager or anybody else's end game is on this. You want to criticize the police? Great. But what are you doing about the problems in the neighborhoods that lead to this, where this kid thought this was his way of life? You know, go out and steal cars. And, you know, I don't like seeing the parents dragged in front of the camera anytime. But I'm not going to judge the parents for being irrational or the parent, in my view, or the parents for defending their kid, no matter how bad their kid may or may not have been. But everybody else stepping up and defending this kid, what's your answer? You want no cops in the neighborhoods?
That's
Is that what you're looking for?
Point. It's a great point.
I don't know what you're asking for. It's 628. And the police, instead of overreacting to concerns about community uproar over this, how about you not fan the flames? And how about you have, a fair period of time, not 2 years, but a fair period of time where you investigate the crime and then release the video? Because here's a bulletin for the rest of us. We don't have a right to know everything. You know, you have a right to be defended in court. You have a right to stand up for yourself, and you have a right to not have your evidence biased.
That's a very good point, yeah.
So
they should release the video after the investigation, for sure.
So we go from not releasing the videos for 2 years. Now every video has to be released the minute it's shot.
Online, too, so it can go viral like that.
Coming up on 6:29, in a few minutes, Dr. Kevin Most. You know what we're going to talk about today, being tired. You tired today?
I am tired today, yeah.
Yeah, I was just setting you up because I know you're tired
today.
Yeah. Anybody else tired today? Show of hands, since this is radio. Yes, Mary's hand is up. Who's tired? Sandberg's tired? David's tired?
Olympics are killing me.
I'm not very tired.
Yeah, I feel pretty good for a Monday.
I'm not too bad, but these Olympics are killing me.
Well, you don't have to watch them.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
They're awesome. It's only once every 4 years. I can handle lack of sleep.
6:29. Friday night, John DeCoste, Mike Toomey, and I will be at the Bell South Banquet Center in Aurora on Eola. No, it's not on Eola. It's on New York, right off of between 59 and Eola.
Yeah.
And I should go by there so I know where I'm going.
You should, right? Make sure you're there.
But I hear it's terrific, and I look forward to seeing you there. And it's a, as always, it's a Iceman Productions production and a Blue Thunder Productions production, since I forgot the name of the company. But we hope you can come out. And you can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, and you could get a link for the tickets right there, or Bell Sal Banquets, BELLESALLE.
And there's still tickets available, right?
I guess.
I hope, yeah. Is that sold out yet?
I want to apologize to the people of Naperville and the White Eagle Golf Club for playing in a tournament this weekend that, I endangered the community.
I did. That's harsh.
No, I did. In 36 holes, I hit 12 balls out of play, either out OB or in the water.
OB's out of bounds.
Out of bounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, considering...
Inexplicably wild.
Considering you've played well this summer, this was just a fluke, I would say, right?
Well, I can't explain it. I can tell you that. I can't explain it. Who was it? Rick Ankiel? Was he the Cardinals pitcher who suddenly couldn't hit the catcher?
Yeah. Yeah, and they moved him.
I Rick Ankiel'd the entire weekend. Couldn't fix it. And yesterday, you know, I had a bit of a comeback going early, and then when it went completely.
Yeah.
Just I was gone again. Gone!
You know who I blame? The clubs.
No. You know, I didn't think a lot about it yesterday because I was too bitter to go over it again. But as I did think about it, I thought, well, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to occasionally play golf with your senior friends and, you know, walk slowly.
Uh-huh.
Talk about what meds you're on.
How long did that thought last in your mind?
About 30 seconds, yeah. And then I got aggravated and entered another tournament this weekend. It's 6:31. Let's do the big story next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Good morning, Dr. Kevin Most, courtesy of Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. And by the way, when I talk to Dr. Most off the air, I have to refer to him that way as well.
I like when you do that. I mean, just
I'll call
just
Kevin
on the golf course when it, you know.
Yeah, I'll call Dr. Most on his mobile phone, and I'll go, "Is this Dr. Most, courtesy of Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day?" It's not awkward at all. So Andrea's tired today. Let's talk a little fatigue, shall we?
You know, I am surprised all of you guys aren't tired. I mean, I just talked with Mary before we got on the air. You know, she goes to bed at 11 and gets up at 3.
We're talking about Sandberg here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, do the math. That's 4 hours of sleep.
Well, she's busy planning a wedding that I'm not invited to, and that takes some time.
Well, maybe if you helped her plan it, you'd be invited.
That's a good idea. The wedding planning is a special.
That's your strong point.
It is one of my many. Yeah, certainly not golf. All right, so listen, everybody gets up on a Monday morning, and they probably feel a little less good than they might the rest of the week. But in general, have we ever been more fatigued?
No, you know, and it's such an extremely common problem that people have. You know, you can't tell me that you haven't had somebody come up to you and say, "I feel exhausted today," or "I feel tired." And so it's very, very common. And there's lots of reasons you can be tired. So the guys on the weekend, you come in on Monday and you're tired, you know, shame on you. That's an opportunity for you to get some rest and, you know, especially on Sunday, get a good night's sleep and get ready for the week. But that's not what happens. You know, a lot of people... It may be something as simple as, boy, I didn't sleep well or I didn't get enough sleep. But there's a lot of other causes for being tired or fatigued.
Yeah, and we've talked about them on the show. We've got sponsors that actually tie into this. You know, you have a bad mattress. You're not sleeping well. That's a fixable situation. You go to bed with the TV on. Those are all bad things. So these are not necessarily physical ailments as much as they are conditions that you put yourself in. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, a lot of it is lifestyle factors, you know, using alcohol at inappropriate times, not enough physical activity. Those are probably some big ones. Lack of sleep, like you said. We had a discussion with the I was out with my brothers and my sister last night. We talked about mattresses and, you know, the importance of sleep. So that part of it is certainly somewhat that I can say is somewhat easy to correct, although we have big problems and we should have a topic of talk about insomnia sometime in the future. But those are the ones, the lifestyle ones, that you can correct, that you don't need to go see a doctor for.
The physical part of this, we'll get to some of the obvious ailments that keep you from sleeping, but what'd you want to ask, Doc?
I was just going to say, is it possible, people always say, oh, I'm going to catch up on my sleep, so I'm going to go home and take a nap for an hour or so. Is that even possible?
Yeah, you know, catching up on sleep is kind of an interesting concept. You know, the body needs a good 7 hours of rest. That's probably ideal, 7-8 hours of sleep. If you ask most people, they don't get anywhere near that. So to catch up on their sleep, to go take a nap, for some people it's actually, oh, I feel so much more refreshed. The problem is a lot of people who nap then go into this cycle that when it's actually time to go to sleep, they're not tired again.
Yep.
So now they have a tough time falling asleep, and now you've gotten into this vicious cycle. Much better to try to stay up during the entire day and go to sleep at a reasonable hour and catch up your sleep, let the body rejuvenate itself overnight instead of in these small pockets.
Yeah, and I've talked to sleep experts on this show before who have said uniformly that if you sleep 4 hours a night, 5 days of the week, you can't sleep 16 hours on a Saturday and make up for the week, that the body doesn't work that way, right?
Correct. Not like a bank account where you can put that money back in and get, you know, catch up. You can't do that. The body is going to work on its cycle. So the days that you abuse it, you know, what your options are, your choices are to continue to abuse it or to try to change your lifestyle so that you're not in that tired lack of sleep situation.
We'll get to the physical stuff in a second, including snoring. But what about depression and things like that? Did they play a role?
Absolutely. Depression and anxiety and stress are probably the top three that people will find are causing them to be fatigued. Because, you know, you can come in and say, I'm fatigued. I can look at you and you look totally normal. But we do know that anxiety causes it, depression causes it, and stress. So any of those can definitely cause not only lack of sleep, but also can just give you the sensation of fatigue. And the difficult thing is that some of the medications that we use to treat those conditions actually cause you to be more fatigued. So people are like, well, I don't want to take my antidepressant medicine because it makes me tired. And the word to them is, hey, take it, because it takes a couple weeks to work. So you're going to be a little bit more fatigued for those first 2-3 weeks, but you're going to feel a whole heck of a lot better after that.
We'll come back and hit those physical ailments in just a second. Before we go to the break, though, on a Monday morning, it always helps to have a story to make you feel good about life. And there's one that came up this weekend. You know, we're talking about Sandberg getting married this week. There's a Pennsylvania bride who made the news this weekend because she had lost her dad a few years ago. He was actually murdered. And he was an organ donor. And amongst his donations were his heart. The man that received this woman's heart walked her down the aisle this weekend. So she had her dad with her. Jenny Stepien is now married. And Arthur Thomas came into Pennsylvania from his home in New Jersey and walked her down the aisle, and she had her dad's heart with her as she walked down the aisle and became bride.
Or that's was a great bride. Story.
Isn't that a good story?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, very, very nice.
Organ donation, we've talked about. Gift of Hope, a great group here. But stories like that make everybody remember. Go online, sign up to be an organ donor. It's important.
6:47, more with Dr. Kevin Most. Back to Dr. Kevin Most. It's Monday. People are tired. I liked your little scolding there, though, Doc. You know, look, you had all weekend. Why are you tired on a Monday?
Yeah.
We shouldn't just let people be tired on a Monday. We should tell people to rest up on a weekend.
Exactly. Bad start for the week.
So. Please, imagine the shape you're going to be in by Friday. Good Lord, people.
And Sandberg's wedding is this week?
Yeah, you're going, I assume.
Oh, yeah, I'm going. I just wanted to see if you wanted a ride. But
No, No need. I'm actually not invited.
Okay.
All right. So here's the situation that we need to address in regards to this fatigue issue, and that's the physical side of it, because obviously there are physical manifestations to this as well. Let's start with the big one, snoring. We've never been more aware of something called sleep apnea. For those who aren't, tell them.
Yeah, so sleep apnea is actually periods of time during your sleeping pattern, during your sleep, where you essentially stop breathing. And you can stop for extended periods of time, and then your body eventually tells you, oh my gosh, I've got to breathe, and you end up with this jolt of kind of exactly, whether it's a snore or whether it's because of the decreased oxygen, the brain finally says, hey, you better breathe. So people that have it think they slept okay, because often they're not going to realize that this is going on unless a loved one is sitting next to them in bed going, you stop breathing for like 20 seconds. Do you know that? So now there's enough science behind it where we can take medications for that. We have machines that help put pressure there so that that portion of your throat doesn't close down and you continue to breathe normally. And although people say, I can't, you know, gosh, I could never sleep with a CPAP machine on or something along those lines, they're making them much better now. And people that do it now get a full night's sleep and they wake up and they're not exhausted. So definitely one that people should look into, the sleep medicine portion of science.
And you never actually get comfortable, restful REM sleep because you don't get there.
Correct.
All right, so that's why you wake up tired after sleeping for what you thought was 8 hours.
Yep.
And the problem for your heart and things is when you're forced to restart, when you jump start your heart like that continuously over and over again, it's very taxing on your heart, right?
Very stressful on your heart, very stressful on your body completely, but very stressful on your heart. Yep.
So, all right. Dave, you had a thought on that?
Well, I have it. And
I was diagnosed with it as well.
Yeah. And one course of treatment that has helped me is wearing a mouth guard at night. It's like a football mouth guard,
right?
That it keeps my airway open, and I don't snore, I don't choke at night like
I used
to.
And you feel better when you wake up.
Yeah, I sleep too well sometimes because I get into REM sleep, which I don't think I did for a long time.
Yeah, if you don't remember your dreams, it's because you never got there.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like dreaming that much.
Right, especially some of the dreams you're having.
Yeah.
But there is a field now called sleep dentistry, right, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Sleep dentistry, I mean, a lot of the pulmonary doctors do sleep medicine. We have family medicine docs do it. We have some psychiatrists that do it. We have pulmonary. We have dental guys that do it. So, yeah, you know, like Dave said, sometimes it's just an appliance that you wear, which is much easier than the CPAP. But see a professional, and they're gonna guide you down the right options for you.
Is there truth to chronic fatigue syndrome? I'm not picking on it. I'm just saying it's something that was kind of they looked at funny, like, oh, yeah, get some sleep. Stop saying you have a condition. But I was talking to somebody this weekend about a business acquisition that he was involved with, and the person in the other company ran the company as chronic fatigue syndrome and works out of his home for a couple hours a day, and that's about all he can handle.
Yeah, so chronic fatigue syndrome, the thing that bothers people about chronic fatigue syndrome is there's no test that says you have it. So we look at fatigue and we say, okay, here's the list of all the things that can be caused that can cause fatigue. And you try to eliminate the ones that are treatable. You know, is it your thyroid? Is it diabetes? Is it, you know, anemia? Is it some of these other issues? And when you knock all those out and then you say, I checked all the things that it can't be, and you still have fatigue along with a couple other symptoms, you fall into this group called chronic fatigue syndrome. For those, sometimes we try antidepressants for a medication for them, but to be honest with you, it's an awful disease. The people that have it feel miserable, and we're doing more and more science on it to say, is it caused by a virus? Is there some reason that it's causing it, that the body is not triggering the right hormones, or not getting the right amount of sleep, or not getting the right brain function? Because it's very frustrating to people that have it.
Sure. So chronic fatigue is just an umbrella term for something that we don't specifically know what it is in general, right?
Correct. After we've eliminated all the bad things that it could possibly cause it, you fall into this other bucket now.
What about mono?
Yeah, so in kids, mono is a great one. You know, the parent that says, my gosh, he's been sleeping so much, I can't believe him. And I know he normally sleeps a lot, but he's sleeping almost 20 hours a day. So that's one where, boy, it's worth getting into the doctor and having him check. Because if it is infectious mononucleosis, a disease caused by the Epstein-Barr virus, common in adolescents, common in college age kids, will stay with you for a month or so. But it's good to know whether you have it, because we want to take those kids out of sports activities because their spleen gets enlarged during this time, and we don't want them to rupture their spleen. So if you have that child who's like, gosh, he's been a little sick with a sore throat and now he seems like he's sleeping a lot, get into the pediatrician, get into the family doc, and get that checked to make sure that it's not mono.
You could have a thyroid issue. You could have an anemia issue. You could also have diabetes, right?
You can, yeah. I mean, thyroid's probably the more fascinating one. We haven't spoken about it. We can almost do a whole section on. People probably know some individuals who have been hypothyroid or hyperthyroid. You know, the thyroid gland sits in our neck, and it controls a whole bunch of things. Controls our metabolism, controls our body temperature, helps us control our weight. And people that are hypothyroid can feel tired and fatigued. And when they find out and they've had that blood test to show that it's thyroid, and they're put on thyroid medication, they feel 1,000 times better. Amazing. Overnight, how much better you can feel if you can identify that it's thyroid disease and it can be treated.
The best thing to do, of course, is to see your doctor, and they can do a complete workup on probably a simple blood test, I guess, right?
Yeah. There's a few blood tests that we can do that can eliminate quite a few of them. We can do a complete blood count, which knocks out anemia. We can check for diabetes. We can check your thyroid. So a lot of the metabolic ones we can do with some simple blood tests.
I just did that at your recommendation, Doc. So great. We don't have to talk about cholesterol, at least, though, today. So that's
we should reveal your complete results of your blood test. We do that on the air, Doc? Or is there some HIPAA thing you want to cite
for
this?
No, you should have it done, though.
No, I think having the test done, especially the person that's fatigued, because they often want an answer. And if that answer is something that's treatable, great. And if it's not, then you have to start to figure out how you're going to live with it and what changes you can make in your lifestyle, or what changes you can make in your sleep pattern, or what changes you can make in your diet that's going to change how you're going to feel every day.
And obviously, this is all a conspiracy by Starbucks to get people to buy more coffee.
Well, Starbucks could be behind it. That's a good point. I never thought of that.
Yeah, Dr. Evil. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. Thank you, my friend.
I'll see you at the wedding. I'll save you a seat.
Okay, great. It's really hurtful.
The Steve Cochran Show.
It's the USA. France attacking. USA holding. France attacking. Australia coming in for bronze. It is going to be the USA touching. They win it from France. Australia, through a great leg from McAvoy, have got up for the bronze medal. The USA. Phelps, a stunning leg. Adrian, brilliant at the end.
And the greatest of all time now has 19 gold medals as part of this 4x100 freestyle relay team.
Did I hear that correctly, Dave? Did he say Michael Phelps has stunning legs?
I believe that's what he said, yeah.
That's reporting, my friend.
Yes, it is.
Actually, Ellen Abramson is actually there. He's in Rio from Three Wire Sports, live from Rio this morning. Let's go to Ellen now. Were you at the swimming venue last night?
I sure was. So
and? Do we lose Ellen? Ellen? Yeah. All right, you've been listening to Ellen Abramson, live report from Rio. Again, were you there last night? I sure was.
That was good, because
this
he was there.
This is the kind of breaking news that we bring to you on a Monday morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jake, let me know if we get Alan back, will you? At 7:13, I thought I heard you say during your sportscast that there were a possibility of 25 gold medals, six more on top of that.
Well, I think he could leave with a total of, Olympics. Is he going to win or gold? Is he going to win all gold in all of those? I mean, that would really be something. I would go leaving with six more golds, giving him 24. I mean, that
crazy.
Would be amazing.
Crazy. Let's go back to Alan now. By the way, Alan, is it Abrahamson?
Yep, it is.
All right. Sorry about that.
I was going to tell
you. All right. So at the swimming venue last night, you know, great excitement, tension. Michael Phelps wasn't supposed to win that, was he?
Well, yes and no. The American men have owned this relay through the course of Olympic history. And at the last, in London, they came in second, and then there's some glitches in Athens and in Sydney. You know, this is a big point of pride for the American swim team, just like the gold medal for the American basketball team. The guys want this medal, and they want it bad. And And that's one of the reasons Phelps came back, was to win gold in this event.
The whooping it up was like, you know, it looked like a football team. They were excited, man. They were whooping it up big time. So I think that goes to the level of competition and how bad they wanted it.
They were super pumped up. I mean, it came back to Beijing when Jason Rizak, you know, swam up. He got hit by a bolt of lightning to win that relay, and then they went berserk on the deck. Same thing last night. You know, I mean, it was awesome. This is why swimming should be the most boring sport of all time, right? I mean, you get your people's heads in the water, you can't see their emotion, nothing. But this kind of event last night rocked the house, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, swimming and gymnastics have become the two absolute must-sees at the Games, and certainly Phelps is a big part of that. But what do you know about this Japanese swimmer who supposedly everybody wants to murder? You know, he's created problems backstage. He's a gamesman, splashes the water to try to distract people. What do we know about this guy?
So he's Chinese, and his name is Sun Yang. And,
my mistake, and I apologize for that. I thought he was a Japanese swimmer.
That's okay. You know, and he's a great Olympic champion, and he got tagged for a 3-month drug bust, and then our sanctimonious friends from Australia are calling him out, whether it's all head games or whether it's legitimate criticism of somebody who's done a little time off, unclear.
And there is a female swimmer. Is she a Russian who is allowed to swim last night, who supposedly had a drug violation as well?
Her name is Yulia Efimova, and this is why the whole doping thing is actually layered and nuanced. It's so not black and white. So she did 16 months off, excuse me, for buying a supplement in a GNC in Southern California. It was tainted. She lives at USC, and she trains at USC. So she's been tested. She's been tested by American drug authorities. The second tag that she got is for a substance called meddonium, which the World Anti-Doping Agency has now said, we need to walk back everything we think about meddonium, because we don't really know when you took it or how long it stays in the system. So, you know, I get that she's been made to be a villain in the press, but, you know, kind of facts matter.
Yeah, they do. You're right. Dave.
Alan, there were so many dire predictions about these games, and I saw you with Bob Costas the other night talking about the idea that if the IOC had it to do over again, they would not have had any sort of change of heart. And it seems like they've been, to this point anyway, watching from afar, they've been validated, because it seems like the games have gone very well. I know it's early, but is that a safe assessment from watching it from this distance?
So I think that's real insight. The traditional narrative is that Chicken Little and sky is falling before the games start. The cauldron gets lit, and then next thing you know, we're talking about the athletes of the world for 17 days. Yes, it's early. Yes, knock on wood. But so far, these games have been fantastic. Weather's been great. Athletic competition has been fantastic. I would expect, you know, again, knock wood, more of the same.
Alan, love the feel-good stories, too. Has the Syrian refugee competed yet? Yusra Mardini, I know there was a lot of buzz around her. Has she meddled yet?
She meddled. young
like
Liz
the softball
Mardini
there?
is not going to meddle. She actually swam 2 days ago in the heats and won her heat, which was fantastic. And she's been a delightful story and a lovely, lovely, inspiring story.
You also covered judo yesterday. This is back from how long ago?
believe it or not, judo, so when you rank the number of people who are here in various sports from all over the world, the track and field, which is next week, is number one, then swimming, and then judo. Judo has like 385 people here from all over the world, and in the first 2 days of competitions, 8 countries have won medals. And yesterday was awesome, believe it or not, because this super badass dude named Fabio Basile, I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up, from Italy, was the surprise winner in the men's 66-kilo category. And he was strutting on the victory stand, and just, you feel like, say, if you were an agent in Hollywood, you'd be lining up deals for this guy right now. And then there was a very different story at judo. A young woman from Kosovo won her country's first ever Olympic medal and gold at that. So it was just charming.
Well, those are both good stories, and I wish judo would get more coverage because watching it is something else. Last question, because we saw it mostly with swimmers, but I know the athletes are doing it in general. What's cupping?
So cupping is a thing where they take a warm cup and they put it on your skin, on your back, and then they pull it off, and it leaves this purple circle. And the idea is that it loosens your muscles and promotes the flow of blood within your system. And some athletes, as you could see from the relay last night with the purple circles on my friend Mr. Phelps' skin, they believe in it.
I mean, what are you hearing? Is this legitimate medicine, or is this a trend in sports only?
Well, it's both. It's legitimate medicine, and I think you're going to see a lot more people doing cupping. It's just got a weird name, right? Cupping?
Yeah, it does.
And it's really weird. But it's supposed to work. You know? And look, at this level, once you get to an Olympic final, everyone's got physical skills. It makes people live with their mental toughness. Not like Michael Phelps needs any lessons in mental toughness, but if he thinks that, you know, the cupping helps loosen it up, it's up away.
All right, we appreciate your time, and the coverage of the game so far has been a pleasant experience. It's working at the level it should work?
Yeah, it was very exciting for me last night. I actually got the cable to work to give me internet, so I was connected to the world again. It was, woo! Yeah. you have to, when you come to a place like Brazil, and I mean this in totally the nicest way, as a Northwestern graduate, I'm like, look, if you want to go stay in Schaumburg, stay in Schaumburg. If you want to see something different, come to Rio. And when you come to a place like Rio, you have to expect that things are going to work in their own way. And that doesn't make them, you know, better than us or worse than us. It just makes them different. And that's one of the things that makes coming to the Olympics great. Things are different.
I think that's fair. All right, Alan, thank you. Alan Abrahamson, did you know him from his Northwestern?
I know Alan. Oh, yes, yes. And he's one of the preeminent Olympic journalists around. So, yeah, he knows his stuff.
Could he kick ass on the judo kid?
That I can't tell you.
Okay. Three Wire Sports is who Alan works for in coverage there.
Yeah, and I think NBCOlympics.com.
Mm-hmm. So. Which is why he was on with Costas the other night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give Alan's cell phone out later in case anybody needs updates and they just want to call him after an event. Catching up on some texters, Dave, one of the listeners wants to know what kind of mouthpiece you were referencing for sleep apnea.
It is something that actually I have my dentist made it.
So ask your dentist.
Yeah, he would know about it. I believe it's called
Night-Night. It's called Night-Night.
It's called Night-Night. That's Night Bright or something. But it's kind of like a sports mouth guard.
And it holds your jaw slightly more forward, so it doesn't. Yeah, your lower jaw, so it doesn't drop down and cause you to snore. Another texter, judo silver medal winner is from Lincolnshire. Do we know about that? Bob Berland?
This rings a bell.
Yeah, so you're looking at him. Michael Phelps' son is named Boomer. This is from another texter.
That's true.
Is that his real name?
Yes.
They named the kid Boomer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Boomer's
Phelps.
A nickname. Boomer's not a real name.
It's a great name, though. Boomer Phelps.
No, it's really not. Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here? And, Steve, Pam, proud mom of Nick Lorenz. Remember our buddy Nick from the Special Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she says, thanks for making Nick feel special. Nick makes us feel special.
He sure does.
And great to hear from you. Nick's mom, by the way, has her own name as well. That's Pam. Thank you, yeah. Pam. And texters always welcome at 312-981-7200. You heard Grisanich say it was a power failure in Atlanta with Delta that has caused this worldwide Delta computer problem. But it is going to be all day to the best of our knowledge, for Delta to catch up on the problems that have already started?
Yeah, these residuals, I mean, they just they take forever. We saw what happened with Southwest. I was actually caught in that in Cleveland. But yeah, and a lot of times too, now what's going to happen is once they start getting back on track, the flight crews are not in place because their flight ended up before they could get back home,
right,
or back to their destination too. So
if you don't have a flight crew, you can't fly the plane.
Exactly.
And then you get crews that time out because they've been on the ground in one spot too long. So it's going to be a very tough day if you're flying Delta. Consider yourself advised and good luck. It's 728. We'll come back with a big story on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I was concerned by some of the things that I saw in the videos, and that's why we took such a swift action, that we did last week.
Anytime there's a loss of life, it's a tragedy. I support what the superintendent, the actions the superintendent took, of both the immediacy of those actions, but also making the video public.
A lot of people are upset by what they saw, and quite honestly, they have a right to be upset.
It's police superintendent and the mayor talking about one of the major stories of the weekend. And you covered this for Channel 9.
Yes, yes.
All right, the kid that died, what's his name?
Paul O'Neill.
And Paul O'Neill died when he was shot by police. The headlines that screamed all weekend, unarmed black teen killed by police. You reported on the full story. And the full story as we know it is what?
The full story as we know it is that 2 weeks ago, Paul O'Neill is accused of stealing a car from Bolingbrook. There's all kinds of stories coming out now that he was part of this large car theft ring, you know, stealing cars for different people in this car ring. That's not confirmed yet. But what we do know is that Paul O'Neill stole a car, was brought back into the city. Police saw that the vehicle was stolen or that matched the plate. They attempted to pull him over. He led them on quite a high-speed chase through a residential neighborhood on the southwest side. And again, when they attempted to put up sort of a roadblock, he squeezed the car, hit the police officer's car, squeezed through. I mean, if you saw a picture of the car that Paul O'Neill stole, it was a mangled mess. And he sideswiped with the officer's car. There were police in that vehicle. Two of the officers responding then got out and gave chase. A third joined, and then later on a fourth joined. So they were chasing Paul O'Neill, and you can see on these body cameras yelling, stop, 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 stop. Then there's gunshots, and at one point the officers say, did he shoot at us? Are we being shot at? Then they're pursuing him. More shots were fired. You don't see him being shot on this body camera video. Paul O'Neill is shot in the back.
But then he runs into a cop car, right?
He ran into the cop car and then he got out. So the question is, was he shot when officers fired at that vehicle, or was he shot when he was being pursued on foot? And that's what the investigation is going to reveal.
But the video that I saw also appeared that he intentionally smashed into the cop car.
Oh, yes. Clearly trying to get away. And then got out and ran. And that's when three officers gave chase. A fourth met them at the scene. Paul O'Neill was shot in the back and was conscious at one point because he was handcuffed. And you can hear them questioning him, and there was so much chaos going on at the time. And the body cameras only show so much of what actually happened.
A complete police investigation is absolutely warranted. But outside of your description that we just have heard and what we talked about at the top of the show, where is everybody else in the media explaining, beyond the headline, unarmed black teen shot by cops? That's not the story.
It's a great point. And that should be the story.
Yeah, the story. The
way you're bringing up.
Right. The story is a criminal with a stolen car led police on a high-speed chase. Everything beyond that is part of a fair investigation, but that criminal also appeared to use that car as a weapon against the police.
Right, and what's unfortunate now is that many of these videos are being released before the investigation is complete. IPRA's releasing so many of these on their website. People are forming their own opinion, and then it sparks a larger debate. Should they be released at all?
Well, look, you release them because you have to have transparency, because the police department has had so many bad apples in the past. So many, again, being a very tiny percentage. But there's absolute reason to believe that there was a percentage of cops in the Chicago Police Department, probably not unlike any other major police department, that were really bad guys and needed to be thrown out and or in jail. The police department is allegedly continuing to work on that. I believe that they are. I don't understand the mayor and the superintendent's rush to release this video, because what you do, and I don't know how else you could term this, in an apparent attempt to quell some concern about community violence. They released this video immediately, and maybe they had another reason, but I don't understand what it was, because they don't know the full extent of what happened. How can the superintendent of the police department put this video out when the superintendent of the police department doesn't know what happened?
Right, and that's why this is the very first time, to my knowledge and to anyone's knowledge, that they've actually not only suspended the officers, put them on desk duty, if you will, but stripped them of their police powers as well.
Any idea that we're entitled to know everything? No, we're not. We're not. You're entitled in this country to be able to defend yourself. And it doesn't matter if you're black, brown, yellow, white. It doesn't matter what you are. And the bottom line is this kid was a criminal.
Right.
Until we find out that he was somehow caught in a stolen car and he didn't know it was stolen. And he was just running because he was scared. Are you kidding me? He amped the situation up to a point where really bad things could happen, and they did. And if these cops shot without being provoked, or these cops shot without having the authority to do it, or broke police rules, or broke the law, they ought to be held accountable to the complete extent of the law and the rules they live by as cops. But that doesn't change the fact that the kid's a criminal.
Yeah, and the investigation will reveal more answers, too. But clearly, you can see within the first 30 to 45 seconds of the video, that's one of the first things you see is Paul O'Neill in the vehicle, or the vehicle that he's driving. And it's just smashing through what was set up to be a barricade.
Yeah, and the sloppy, lazy narrative that the majority of news media in this town goes with, unarmed black teen shot by cops, doesn't tell the story. And in this public, the public now doesn't care about anything other than the first headline they read. So I'll say the same thing I said earlier. Where's Reverend Jackson? Where's Father Flager? Mm-hmm. Where are the leaders of the black community to stand up and say, we want answers on what happened to this kid? We deserve answers on what happened to this kid. And we also want the rest of the community to know, our community and the greater Chicago community to know, we don't condone the actions that led to this police violence.
That's exactly what they should be doing. They were both out at the rally that I was at on Saturday in Marquette Park, where they were commemorating the Martin Luther King March from 50 years ago for Chicago's freedom movement.
This wasn't what Martin Luther King was about?
No. No, no mention was made of Paul O'Neill's past. But yeah, both sides of the full story needs to be told.
This is not Hydea Pendleton, you know, sitting in a park being shot. This is not the kids that were shot in drive-bys. And this is not what should happen ever. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, when you steal a car and you ram the police with the stolen car, and there's a high-speed chase, as you pointed out earlier, through residential neighborhoods where other innocent people could be hurt, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah. And by releasing all these videos, too, I think, Steve, you really run the risk of now people doing what you said that is happening, generalizing and saying, oh, well, this is like Laquan McDonald, or this is like whatever incident it might be. It's not. These are both so different. You can't compare one to the other.
Texter 708, I cannot believe what I'm hearing from you. Even if he stole a car, should he be shot in the back because the first police officers fired his retreating call? You don't know that. You weren't there, Texter. You weren't there. 630, he was unarmed. And then the rest of the text, frankly, doesn't make sense. Yeah, okay, here's a bulletin. When you're a cop and a car smashes into you and it's a stolen car and he's driving down the road, you don't know if he's armed or unarmed. You know, he's trying to kill you in the midst of it.
And also, too, you can hear on this video, and in many of the videos, unfortunately, now they're all being made public, the police saying, stop, 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 stop. Put your hands up. Stop running. Stop running. Stop running.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of these, thanks for saying this, great points, but then there's also this. You're defending them before there's any investigation. You're not impartial. Yeah, I am. Here's the impartial. The cops should go to jail if they broke the law. The cops should be fired if they only broke police rules. The cops should be held accountable. But stop acting like this kid was a victim. This kid started this. He doesn't deserve to die. He deserves to be held up for his accountability in this. He started this by stealing the car and being in it and ramming the police cars. So let's figure out who's partial and impartial here.
No, completely. Completely. Just tell all sides of the story.
And again, the city, you know, if you were going, this kid deserves his justice. The police deserve their justice. The truth is always is probably somewhere in the middle. But you don't get answers because you have an internet connection and you saw a video for 30 seconds. You don't know what's going on. You weren't there. Neither was I.
And when this investigation's complete, too, no matter what happens, wherever the coin falls, whether their suspension stays or whether they're reinstated, they will have done an entire full investigation, and you can't get mad at what their findings are, because they are going, they're leaving no stone unturned.
And why the mayor and the police superintendent wouldn't leave time for this goes directly to the fallout from Laquan McDonald. The Laquan McDonald video should not have taken the 2 years that it took, obviously, but you don't put the video out 2 minutes after the incident either.
Right.
So it's a disservice all the way around. But, you know, the police are standing up. The city and the police are standing up and saying, we're deeply concerned about what we saw, and we have got to investigate this, and we got to find out what happened. Okay, where are the community leaders saying this kid shouldn't have stolen a car? Where are the community leaders saying this kid should not have rammed the police? Where are the community leaders saying this is not something we accept in any way, shape, or form, and we want to know what the police did?
Very, very fair points. Yep. Tell both sides of the story.
750. And you were there. I mean, you covered this all weekend long. All this news does is divide the nation. Well, it doesn't have to. Two two four, make up your mind. Look, I'm trying to read these texts on the fly. I don't know what I need to make up my mind about. You don't get to pick sides just because you saw the video. Steve is right. I live and work in Chicago, and I want the police to think that we want them on the streets to take care of fighting crime. Could not agree with you more. There's a bunch of these. There's a lot of textures, and people are rightly fired up about this. I thank you for your opinion, regardless of which side you're on. I would like to think there'd be a fair investigation of this for the conclusion of the story for both sides. But how are these communities going to change, whether they're black, white, brown, yellow, whatever? How are these communities going to change unless this kid gets called out for who he was?
Right. And you know what? Eddie Johnson really, I think, is trying to get to the forefront of all of this, too, by saying, you know what? We need to have discussions. He held another town hall over the weekend, a community meeting, where you get people in the community, parents, sitting down with police officers saying, look, this is what we need. This is what we want. And the police saying, well, this is what we need from you. It has to be hand in hand.
I totally agree. 708, you say this kid is a criminal, but the cop that shot first is a dope. Look at the video. Again, you don't know what... God, we live in a world where people see a video on Facebook or on the internet somewhere, and suddenly you think you have expertise in the story. You don't. Get out of that headspace. /7:56, it's the Steve Cochran Show. Every community has a responsibility, every adult has a responsibility for calling out kids or calling out criminals for being just that. I don't care what color you are. You know, this is the irony of what you saw this weekend of the Reverend Jackson. And by the way, the Reverend Jackson has done a ton of good in his life.
Oh, yes.
And in balance, if you could quantify it, I believe much more good than bad. Mm-hmm. But he has lost his way in recent years. And this is another example of this in this moment, because Martin Luther King said, I want to live in a world, and I look forward to living in a world where my children are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I don't care if you're white, yellow, brown, black, blue, purple, pick it. If you're a criminal, you're a criminal. If you want to live in a civilized society, you obey the law. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you should be shot by a cop anytime. But if you are committing a crime in real time, real world situations, you have now put yourself in a position where the worst can happen. That's why you need a full investigation.
Right. And they're doing the full investigation. That's what they're doing.
It's 7:58. Next hour, Dean Richards will join us. Also, got a couple of other events we want to make you aware of that are coming up in Chicago this week. Of course, we could have had the Olympics here this week, and I would have loved to have seen the Olympics here. I think it would have been great. But you know what you don't want to do if you're enjoying the Olympics? Like Mary was talking earlier about how much she's enjoying the Olympics.
Yeah.
You don't want to watch Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel because they dedicated the entire... I guess it's the July-August Real Sports to what slime balls the IOC are in how they determine where the games go, who the IOC members are. They talk about, and I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's ridiculous. They talk about the workers who were literally indentured servants mm-hmm. who built sushi and weren't paid and were beaten if they asked for their paychecks. And they talk about people that died in Brazil and entire communities, you know, favela communities who were just blown up, just torn down. It's like we're putting the Olympics in and we're tearing down your village.
I didn't know that he was showing that. Yeah, the Brian Gumbel.
Yeah. So which it's going to make it harder to enjoy the majesty of the games if you watch Gumbel. That's all I'm saying.
That's what the when they come in and force people out of their yeah. little apartments and stuff, like armed people, get out now because we're going to make a venue right here yeah. so you can't.
Yeah.
No time to relocate.
It's you know what just flashed in my mind is when Trump went to Scotland. Remember that? And he was telling all the farmers, I'm taking your land. And right. they're going, wait, what? Yeah, right. I'm going to build a golf course here. I'm taking your farms and your land.
So, and it's not just, it's not unique to Rio. It's not unique to Sochi in Russia. It's happened everywhere. But the IOC is a mess. So maybe it's better we didn't have him here this week because we don't have a whiff of scandal in Illinois or in Chicago.
Oh, no.
Why would we want to start now?
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Or kiss me, kiss the girl.
8:13, Dean Richards joins us now. Todd Manley, the boss of this place, is just making fun of me, Dean, because I said, hey, I got to show you a new picture of Abigail. He goes, well, where would you have a picture of Abigail? Apparently, I show off a lot of pictures of my grandchild.
No.
Yeah, apparently.
What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. Nothing, but I'm being mocked about it. I'm going to hold one up for you, Dean.
Do we need to stage some sort of work stoppage to protest this harassment that you have to go through?
This one, Dean, as you can see, is a picture of Abigail with a shocked look on her face and the caption, Trump said what? You know, because at 8 months, she gets it.
Can I offer another caption?
Yeah.
My grandfather's who?
Maybe that was the look. It's entirely possible.
Just saying.
How was your weekend?
It was delightful. I was out on the grill, made some delicious food.
Boy, you love to cook, don't you? Dean Richards loves to cook.
I do love to cook.
Yeah, but you don't clean up, right?
I do. I do cook up.
You like to clean up and cook.
I don't enjoy cleaning up, but I do it.
So. You like to shop, clean, and cook up.
And you know what I think of every time I fire that grill up? Mr. Dave Ennett telling me about the Grill Daddy.
Yeah.
That device that both steams and cleans your grill at the same time.
I got one as a gift.
They are, I swear, this is the best thing ever.
I'm using it instead of showering. I'm using it on me.
That would explain your shiny demeanor and clean complexion.
It's quite a loofah.
Yeah. It's nothing like a good steel wool brush on your face to take away the dead skin.
All right, so we got movie news coming up. We got Bradley Cooper news coming up. We got Lindsay Lohan news coming up. Renee Zellweger's face is in the news.
I can't wait to play this cut for you of the person that Meryl Streep plays in her new movie. Who is considered the worst singer of all time.
Yeah, and did you know this story?
Never.
I didn't know this story either. So this person was actually existed, and she was long before there was, what's the thing they do in studios now where they fix people's voices?
Oh,
looping?
No.
Auto-tune.
Auto-tune,
yeah. Yeah, we auto-tune people?
I don't think even today there's enough auto-tune to fix this voice. Her name is Florence Foster Jenkins. And she was a socialite, like in 1920, 1930-ish era. She was loaded, had a ton of money, was patron of the arts. But she fancied herself a singer. And really, you know, she would hold these parties for her friends, and her friends would politely come and listen to her. She was like the worst singer ever. But her friends would put up with it because she... You know, to be nice, but also she had a lot of money and was bankrolling a lot of these people, so nobody ever said how bad she was.
And she was blind to how bad she was.
Completely blind to how bad
she was. It's a funny idea for a movie, and you're not going to review it, though, yet, are you?
I would never do such a thing before the opening day of the movie, tell you how much I like a particular movie, because it's quirky and different, and I love Meryl Streep and Simon Helberg, Wolowitz from The Big Bang Theory, who we'll also hear from in a second.
Did I ever tell you Meryl Streep told me to F off?
Really?
Yeah, but this is funny. She was in studio. This was here, and this was when I was doing the afternoon show. And matter of fact, I think you interviewed her the same day. And then she came over.
That may have explained her bad mood.
Yeah. So she came over and we were laughing and somebody came in because, you know, nobody comes to the show, down to the show, unless there's somebody they really want to meet.
Right.
And then suddenly salespeople and office people and suddenly, other people right. show up and they go, oh, Steve, hey, just wanted to say hi. Oh, look, Meryl Streep's here.
I just have to get something out of the control room. Hi, Miss Streep.
Yeah. So a couple people walked in and they're going, oh, I'm such a big fan. And she and I had gotten to be friends in the 2 minutes we knew each other. And I went, yeah, it turns out she's a huge jerk. And she just looked at me and she goes, F off, Steve. And then laughed. She's got a great laugh. As you know, Dean, she's got a great laugh. And she just laughed. And it was very funny.
Great sense of humor. She's, I believe she is the only A-lister. I mean, and she is
do you ever tell
top,
me to F off? No,
top of the list of A-listers. When you come into the room, she actually gets out of her chair and stands up and shakes your hand.
How about that?
She is like a normal person with manners would do, you know. And it's Meryl Streep, you know. She could just sit there and not do anything, and you'd be perfectly satisfied. But that's how polite she is. That when you come into the room, she stands up and greets you, shakes your hand, but you know, like. You put your hand out, and she takes both of her hands and kind of cups both sides
of
your
hand. Oh, and she appreciates the fact that you're working,
too. Yeah, she's very sweet.
But, by the way, what is that? I did not know that. And what does that say about show business that that every other A-lister refuses to get up and say hello?
Most of them don't have good house manners, seriously. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the
entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 7 2. Continuing of the Wintrust Community Bank Hour, Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Howard, how's the newsroom?
It's quiet today. Mm-hmm. For Monday, it's kind of quiet. Usually there's a little more activity here.
So Annabelle Laval must be out?
Annabelle Laval's not in the office today. That brings the decibel level down 20, 30 points usually when she's not here.
Figured that might be
and
the case.
She would say that. I'm not talking about
Annabelle Laval!
She would say that.
Suicide Squad, big money over the weekend?
It did make an interesting way of making big money, $135 million, which is not terrible. An awful lot of that money came Friday to Saturday, the first day, and then the numbers went down as the weekend went on.
Word of mouth killed it?
Word of mouth, $135 million is not exactly a killing, but... It should have gone up for the weekend. Normally, movies like that, you see the numbers going up and there's enthusiasm. But people, you know, that means that there were not repeat screenings, people going back to see it a second time. It means word of mouth was bad. It's probably about one of the worst reviewed movies of the year by critics, for whatever that's worth. If you believe critics, who believes them?
Yeah, they're crazy.
Drunk most of the time.
Bradley Cooper's in the news. What's he doing?
Bradley Cooper announced that he is going to be producing a series for HBO that is about the rise of ISIS. It's going to be a dramatic series that's based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning book called Black Flags, The Rise of ISIS, that was written by a Washington Post reporter about the growth of ISIS as told through the stories of actual terrorists, of politicians, of intelligence agents. So sounds like it's going to be kind of interesting. No word on casting or an air date or anything like that yet.
Can I just make a quick Bradley Cooper point? Bradley Cooper took a bunch of heat for being at the DNC in Philadelphia.
Right.
Because he had played Chris Kyle, the American sniper, in a movie. Pause. It's a movie. He was in a movie. He played a character in a movie, and he could certainly have respect for that character, but not share that character's political views in life. It's a movie.
And we don't even know what his political views are in life. Philadelphia is his hometown.
Yeah, he showed up at the convention.
His quote afterwards was, I just wanted to take my mom to go see the president speak.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. In 1996, when the convention was here, I was at the Democratic Convention. I was at several of the events, and I was at the United Center, and I could have been photographing a bunch of places. I didn't vote for Bill Clinton. I voted for Bob Dole. So, you know, it is what it is.
Steve voted for Bob Dole. I voted for Bob Dole.
That's not bad. That's
Bob
pretty
Dole.
Good.
Bob Dole appreciates Steve Cochran's vote.
That's pretty good. That's very strong. Man, I hope he comes back.
That's why I'm the Rich Little of the new millennium.
That's good. Lindsay Lohan. This is a bad story. Lohan says she got punched.
This is awful. Repeatedly was the victim of domestic violence, not just one incident. She's got this Russian boyfriend, Igor Tarabasov is his name.
Is it Igor or Igor?
It's spelled E-G-O-R, so...
I got to go with Igor.
I'm saying Igor.
Yeah, it's Igor. You're right.
Igor.
What would Bob Dole say about this guy?
Igor. Bob Dole.
I'm just fascinated with your Bob Dole impression.
We're trying to work it out every day, then.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan did an interview with the Daily Mail in London and said that there have been repeated incidents in which Igor... got into physical altercations with her, and she's kept quiet about it for a long time. Typical pattern of someone who is a victim of domestic violence. He didn't mean it. He had too much to drink. It's not how he really is. Didn't say boo about it, but she finally said now she's scared of what he might do to her and what he might do to himself. So she's speaking up about it. Supposedly they're engaged. And there's no word on the status of their relationship, but it certainly doesn't sound good right now, and it's certainly never good when any domestic violence, anyone raises a hand to somebody else doesn't make any sense to
me. Wasn't she with a woman for a long time?
She was with famous DJ, Samantha Ronson. For a long time.
Phase in her life, I suppose?
A very friendly person.
What's up with Renee Zellweger's face?
Well, she's actually denying that she's had anything done to her face.
Yeah, sure she hasn't.
She says that she wrote an op-ed piece talking about the double standard that women have to go through.
Sandberg, you're the most judgmental person on the show. Please come in here and judge Renee Zellweger's face while Dean does the story.
If you have a before and after, I mean, she definitely looks different now than she did several years ago. But there have been so many stories and so much speculation about plastic surgery with her. And what she says in the piece that she wrote, not that it's anyone's business.
And it's not.
But I did not make a decision to alter my face or have surgery on my eyes.
Let's now go to the most judgmental person on the show, Sandberg. Did Renee Zellweger have surgery?
If it's not surgery, it's injections or some type of manipulation.
Right. There's no question in your mind.
No question.
You've investigated this face. You've looked into it.
Oh, I have, because I used to think that I was going to marry Kenny Chesney. And so when she was with him, I became obsessed with her.
Oh, okay. So that made you check out her face.
Yes.
I was looking forward to how you're going to tie that together.
Yeah. And so I'm very critical of her naturally as my competition with Kenny Chesney.
Right. Right, right.
But now I'm going to marry Pat Boyle, so I'm over Kenny.
But you don't sound like you're over Kenny.
I still know Renee's face, and it's way different.
All right, so once again...
Bob Dole says he agrees with Mary Sandberg on
that. Bob Dole sounds like Sling Billy.
Yeah, well, it kind of does.
It's
kind
French fried taters.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. All right, let's move on to Meryl Streep. Who is Florence Foster Jenkins?
Florence Foster Jenkins was a socialite in New York, loaded with money. She was born into a family with money, married a rich guy who died. She just had money everywhere. And a patron of the arts. She supported every music thing that she could possibly do in New York because she wanted to be in music herself. She wanted to be a singer, so she took private lessons. She hired the best coaches. The first recording I've got for you is what the real Florence Foster Jenkins sounded like. This is a recording from somewhere like in the 1930s. So listen to this first here.
Oh my god. You're making that up.
Dogs are running from the showcase studio.
That's the real
Wow.
The real Florence Foster Jenkins. So she her dream was to play Carnegie Hall someday and did get to do it. Nobody ever said no to her. Nobody ever said, you sound awful. Everybody politely sat there and listened to her because she was she's the cash cow for all of her friends. She's throwing money at everybody. So that's what this movie is about. Meryl Streep plays Florence Foster Jenkins. in the movie and turns in an amazing performance.
Does she sing, Meryl?
She does sing. Meryl Streep recreates the singing that you hear. And Simon Helberg, who we know as Howard Wolowitz from The Big Bang Theory, he's actually a pianist. He plays, when the piano playing that you see in the movie is him. So, I mean, he's an accomplished musician all on his own. He was in Chicago last week. We talked about the movie, talked about all that. But, of course, we also had to talk a little Big Bang Theory that's now going into its 10th season. And, you know, how he...
Preparing to jump the shark once and for all.
Well, we'll see, because, you know, as he sort of confirms, seems like everything's going pretty well for them still.
We're in a unique kind of rarefied air. I don't know if it, and it could be the end of television's changed so much since we started. You know, there wasn't Netflix and anything streaming.
Are you guys all like happy to go as long as it wants to go? Are you? I mean, well, you're in a big movie with Meryl Streep now. Does this signal?
It might go to my head. I think that you know, we're going into 10, and that's all that we are. That's all they've asked us to do, and I would think that if everyone wants to do more, if we're asked and everyone's on board, I mean, it'd be fun. We're having a great time, so I guess it just depends.
And I love that when I'm surfing on cable that you guys are on like literally every other channel here.
Yeah,
someplace.
I feel bad. Nobody. And then on the airplanes, you're like a captive audience there. You'd have to jump out of the plane if you want to. That's the choice. Watch us or jump. Out of an airplane.
So there you go. I mean, the show is definitely going strong.
If the show does jump the shark, I want them to have on Henry Winkler and a shark.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be tremendous.
First time that a show literally will have jumped a shark with Henry Winkler.
You ought to be able to pull that off. All right, buddy, I'll talk to you.
Bye.
Big story next, 720 WD.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
.842. Do you know it's Girls Golf Month? How about that? Hey, before
that.
We get to that, though, you know I'm most amazed at in the Olympics, and Vandeveld, you probably saw her, Oksana Chusov, and I knew I'd blow this, Chusovitina of Uzbekistan. She competed in her first Olympics in 1992.
Oh, is she the Russian gymnast?
Yeah, well, Uzbekistan, part of the Greater Russian Federation.
Right.
Seventh Olympic Games. She's 41 years old.
You know, I turned it on just when they were talking about her. I missed her age.
41.
She was unbelievable. And she did, they said her vaults were better than they were 4 years ago.
Yeah.
In her last Olympics.
And she's not totally eliminating the idea of being in Tokyo in 4 years.
Ah, oh, you go, girl.
41.
I love that. Especially with the gymnasts. I mean, those kids are, like, could be her kids. They could be her grandkids.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know,
she got a 16-year-old son.
Wow.
And, yeah. And the kids on her team are actually younger than her son. So
I love that.
Another good story to follow from the Olympics. And some people were giving one of my former wives, Giselle Bündchen, grief about her opening ceremony work on Friday night.
Why?
I don't know what you expected her to do. That's what she does. She walks.
What was the purpose of that? I mean, where was she? I thought.
Well, she's from Rio. Yeah.
I know. I get that, and the girl from whatever.
The girl from Ipanema.
But I just was like, okay, is she going to go do something after this?
You know, that's why she was walking. She was heading from one place to another.
Where did she go?
No, she wears fabulous clothes and she walks. That's her job.
I felt bad that she was getting knocked on, too. I mean, it's her home country.
She could take some comfort in her $100 million annual salary. But having said that, you know, I thought Giselle was fine.
Yeah, I don't think she's hot, but I think she did great.
I didn't expect her to stop, head for her laboratory, and break down DNA. That's what she does.
Did you hear the NBC hosts ogling over the guy that was from Tonga that came in?
Yeah, Tonga boy.
Oh, the greased-up guy? Yeah.
Tonga boy, greased-up Tonga boy.
It was coconut oil.
If guys did that to a woman coming in, I mean...
Well, we were just talking about Giselle.
Yeah, you guys were just ogling over Giselle.
It's just she didn't use as much oil.
No, they were really going after this guy there. I mean, I thought Hoda, and she was drunk, obviously, but still.
Allegedly.
She was. And she touched him today on TV. I just saw on the Today Show. She actually, like, touched him.
Yeah, who's not Giselle Fernandez. Who's the other woman on the tiny newswoman on the Today Show?
Oh, is it Samantha?
Natalie.
Natalie
Morales.
Yeah, Natalie.
Natalie Morales and Hoda Cotby.
Cotby.
Is that a last name?
Yeah, we're literally feeling up this guy from Tonga a second ago.
And Matt Lauer even took a rub on him, too. I saw that.
Oh. All right, now you're starting trouble.
No, but he did. Wow. He rubbed his arm.
Thought and tan and young and lovely. The girl from Ipanema goes walking. And when she passes, each one she passes.
I tried to recreate Giselle's walk. I'll tell you, first off, it's hard finding stilettos in size 11 and a half men's.
You wear them well, though.
And then to get a big and tall dress to fit me, not a great look either.
Stunning, stunning.
But I tried to recreate the walk. It's tougher than it looks.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, they always say Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did. She just did it backwards and in heels.
I actually threw my hip out.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I couldn't play golf this weekend.
Go with that.
Had to be an excuse somewhere. Tell everybody who's on the phone.
Lizzie Coghill, our friend who is the one of the co-owners of Silver Lake, the beautiful Silver Lake Golf Club in Orland Park, Illinois, celebrating Girls Golf Month. And last year, Lizzie and Rachel Teresi, one of the instructors, pros, our friend Rachel, out at Silver Lake. We love Rachel. They put on a girls golf clinic. And it was such a success. They had girls ages 7 to 14. Lou Malnati's, Mindy and Maggie sent over some pizza from Lou Malnati's. Titleist, Callaway all sending, different things for the girls. So they're going to do another clinic on Saturday.
All right.
So much fun.
Lizzie joins us now. How do people get involved, Lizzie? What do people do to bring their girls out?
Actually, it's really easy. It's a free clinic that we're offering on Saturday from 11 to 1:30. And all they have to do is call the pro shop at Silver Lake. It's limited to the first 25 girls. Last year we had about 36 girls, and we had an awesome turnout. But we like to keep things kind of intimate so all the girls can have a really rich experience from all the instructors that we have. So we'd like to keep it down to a minimum of about 25 girls.
How old are you when you started playing?
Oh, my gosh. I probably had a golf club in my hand before I could walk.
Yeah. Well, the family was involved in the golf business, obviously. But is there an age where little kids, boys or girls, it's great to get them started, or is it just whenever they're interested?
I think for each individual, it's different. I see kids who are 3 years old with a golf club in their hand, and then I see other people who, don't start until they're 13. So I think it's kind of a whenever they're ready kind of thing.
And this is a great way to get involved too, Lizzie, especially on Saturday with the Girls Golf Clinic, because there's different, there's putting, there's chipping. Talk about some of the different seminars that the girls will be going through.
Right. So not only do we do instructions, they're on the driving range, hitting irons, drivers, we do chipping, we do putting, and then there's also kind of the extras, it's really enriching these girls' lives outside of just swinging a golf club. There's a great community around golf, like any sport, and this is such an awesome time with the Olympics and golf actually being in the Olympics for the first time in forever. I know that a lot of the females are really excited about having the Olympics having golf in the Olympics for the first time. Yeah, so I'm really excited about it. And we have a junior league program at Silver Lake with over 250 kids, and a lot of girls have signed up for the clinic as well. Yeah.
What else I've noticed more recently in the past 10 to 20 years? A lot more girl caddies. And, that is the great summer job of all time, because you're outside, you're active, you're learning what it's like to communicate appropriately with adults. You're also learning a lot of inappropriate conversation that goes on amongst adults. But it's a great, great first job, and I'm seeing tons of girls doing it now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's a good thing. All right. So one more time. Silver Lake Girls Golf Month continues. Professional clinics, and who are the sponsors again? Titleist and who else?
Callaway is our main sponsor, and then Lou Malnati's is providing pizza for all the girls.
Excellent.
How about that?
Excellent. Nice job by you, Lizzie. And what's the number to call?
Thanks for having me.
What's the number to call out there?
708-349-6940.
708-349-6940.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, or you can go to our website at silverlakecc.com.
Silver Lake Country Club. Got it. And you play golf out there quite a bit, don't you?
I do. It is my favorite. I mean, it's my home course. It's my favorite place to play. Nice course. Love seeing the girls out there. And it's really cool to see a lot of the young kids, girls and boys, really getting involved. It's so much fun. And Silver Lake has a 9-hole course called Rolling Hills. And it's a really good, what they do is, it's a great place to go if you wanted to bring, well, when Abigail's able to walk, you know, you bring your granddaughter out there.
And I've already got her putting.
I figured you did, yeah. They have, you know, the regular course, but then they have another flag on the green, too, for kids. It's a bigger hole.
Oh, that's cool.
So it gives them a better opportunity.
That's a really good
idea. It's a really family-friendly course.
That's a really good idea, so kids don't get frustrated.
Exactly.
They actually play and have some success.
Unlike us.
Yeah. You know what I got over the weekend for sucking at a level I've never sucked before? Participation ribbon. That's all you can hope for now. It's 7, make it 8:51. We'll come back in a moment at 720 WGN.
And Mayor's Traffic was sponsored by Illinois Department of Transportation.
Steve Cochran Show continues. You're thinking it's awfully quiet today in Trump and Hillary land. Yeah, for the most part. There's a couple pieces of audio to catch up with from the weekend, though. You know, Fareed Zakaria is. Fareed Zakaria does a weekly column for Time magazine. He is a well-regarded journalist, not without controversy at certain times, including last week when he called Trump a BS artist, and he actually said BS on CNN. Here's Fareed following up on that on Trump this weekend.
A bullshit artist. I was not using that label casually, and in case you have sensitive ears, I'm going to use it a few more times. Trump is many things, some of them dark and dangerous, but at his core, he is a BS artist. Harry Frankfurt, an eminent moral philosopher, wrote about Trump in this vein in Time, as have Jeet Heer and Eldar Saralnich. Frankfurt distinguishes crucially between lies and BS. Telling a lie is an act with a sharp focus. It is designed to insert a particular falsehood at a specific point. In order to invent a lie at all, the teller of a lie must think he knows what is true. But someone engaging in BS, Frankfurt explains, is neither on the side of the true nor on the side of the false. His eye is not on the facts at all. This has been Donald Trump's mode all his life. He boasts and boasts and boasts about his business, his buildings, his books, his wives. Much of it is a concoction of hyperbole and falsehood. And when he's found out, he's like that guy we have all met making wild claims at the bar, who, when confronted with the truth, quickly responds, "I knew that."
It's Fareed Zakaria backing up what he put down last week on Trump. If you have Showtime, by now you probably saw the documentary on 9/11, the pre-run-up to 9/11 and the aftermath from the directors of the CIA. An unprecedented sit-down with all the former CIA directors, including former CIA director Mike Morrell, who served the Bush administration. Last I knew, Bush was a Republican. Morrell knows what he's talking about when it comes to spies around the world and the bad guys around the world. His concerns about Trump and Putin are pretty grave. Listen.
From Putin's perspective, right, he's a trained intelligence officer, worked for the KGB, very talented, manipulated people much smarter than Donald Trump. He played this perfectly, right? He saw that Donald Trump wanted to be complimented. He complimented him. That led Donald Trump to then compliment Vladimir Putin and to defend Vladimir Putin's actions in a number of places around the world. And Donald Trump didn't even understand, right, that Putin was playing him. So in Putin's mind, I have no doubt that Putin thinks that he's an unwitting agent of the Russian Federation, although Putin would never say that. From Mr. Trump's perspective, right, he simply heard Putin compliment him. He then responded by complimenting him. He never thought that he might be being played.
And lastly, Arkansas Senator and Trump supporter Tom Cotton shows up on Fox yesterday with Chris Wallace. I'm not going to give Chris Wallace credit. He doesn't just toe the Fox line. He's tough. And Chris Wallace had a question for Tom Cotton that Tom Cotton had trouble answering.
How do you feel about Donald Trump's readiness to be commander-in-chief?
Well, Chris, I've had my disagreements with Donald Trump. I've stated them clearly in the past, and I will in the future. And Donald Trump ought not have said some of those things that you just recounted. But Hillary Clinton ought not have done the things she's done. She is in no small measure responsible for the deaths of four Americans in Benghazi, and she lied to the faces of their families. She set up an unsecure server in which she used classified information that put Americans at risk, and then she lied about it for a year.
In 30 seconds, if I may, are you confident that Donald Trump is ready to be commander-in-chief.
I am confident that if the American people elect Donald Trump as president and a Republican Congress, that this country will be safer in the world, our streets will be safer, and we will be more prosperous.
How hard is that to answer? Are you confident that Donald Trump should be the commander-in-chief? Yes or no? If you're supporting Trump, what's your level of confidence? Because if you're not confident that he can't handle the most important job as president, commander-in-chief, well, then we got a problem.
It's kind of like when you imitate politicians and you say, ask me how the weather is today.
Yeah. Well, it could be cloudy, it could be sunny.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Sometimes you hit a huge speed bump in life, not of your making. You end up having an education in things that, well, they might be medical, but you never thought you'd know. Happened to the family of Master Sergeant Tom Ranful, United States Air Force retired, and we thank him for his service. He and his wife, Vicky, are hosting a benefit for their granddaughter, Tatiana, coming up. Tatiana is 10. We're going to meet her in just a second. And has a very difficult disease. The short version of it is IAPH, idiopathic pulmonary hypertension. We'll find out about that, too. So let's meet some of these folks, starting with Grandma Vicky. And let's see. Vicky, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
What can I call you other than Grandma Vicky? That doesn't seem like that's appropriate for me.
How about just Vicky?
Vicky, that'll work. Vicky, tell me about the benefit first. Let's make sure people know where and when.
Okay, it's August 13th, which is this Saturday, 4:30 to 8:30. It's called 115 Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
It's in Marionette Park.
I know exactly where that is.
Okay. Well, they have a lot of benefits they put on a very nice display. You know, we'll have dinner, we'll have desserts. There's beer, wine, pop, coffee, you name it. We have music. We have people helping hands help people. They're bringing all their sports memorabilia out, and we have benefits. We have baskets. We have raffles. I mean, and we have everybody have a chance to actually meet Tatiana, and that's the most important. I mean, we ask people for prayers, but when you know somebody and you get to meet this our warrior, the prayers mean more to everyone.
And as I said, we'll meet Tatiana in just a second. Shayla's with us as well. You're the mom, right, Shayla?
Yes, I am.
So tell me how your life has changed because of this.
Well, we don't have too many people that can watch her. She's been with us. She was diagnosed with this March of 2012.
Okay.
And since then, you know, my husband and I are the primary caregivers. We have to mix her medicine daily, every 24 hours. It has to be kept cold. And then she carries a backpack with her with the medicine, and it's got to be kept on ice also.
And this is an expensive proposition to do the right thing and to take care of your daughter, because one of the hospitals that specializes in this is Presbyterian Children's in New York. So
yes.
You have to travel back and forth all the time, I would assume, huh?
We do. We travel twice a year. We drive because between every 4 to 6 months, it turns out to be just about every twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we travel by car because the pressure is in her heart. If she were to fly, that would affect her pressures. And also the breathing medication she'd have to have on a breathing machine, the oxygen machine. Which is also very expensive. So the easiest route for us is to drive.
It's called idiopathic pulmonary hypertension. So we think of hypertension as high blood pressure. And this is high blood pressure in a kiddo that should never have to be dealing with it. And what sort of symptoms? Are we talking about shortness of breath, that type of thing?
Yes, and that's in the lungs. So it's not your regular high blood pressure. And then she gets, you know, dizzy sometimes, shortness of breath. Her face, when she's not feeling well, it kind of turns bluish around her eyes and her mouth. She gets pain, chest pain also.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Along with the shortness of breath.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that your family has to deal with this. It's ridiculous that the kid's going through it. Tatiana, can you hear me?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, cutie. I'm just here to tell you, I think this is ridiculous. You have to deal with this, but I think you're such a hero because you're so brave and strong about it.
Thanks.
So I know you don't like to miss school. You probably have to miss a little because of this, right?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Well, what we need to focus on is to keeping you healthy now and to press forward so you can maximize your life. Just be a kid. That's what you ought to be doing at 10. Just be a kid.
Yeah.
So what do you like to do for fun?
I like to play video games.
Are you a Pokemon Go type, or is that not for you?
No.
What's your favorite video game?
I would have to say Minecraft.
And, you know, I got to be honest with you, Tatiana. I'm an old guy now. I'm 55. Can you imagine how old that is?
Yes, my.
Yeah, I mean, that's super old.
Yeah, my grandparents were that old.
Holy mackerel. I don't understand Minecraft. Is this the one where you build cities and stuff? You build your own communities?
Yeah, basically. You can build anything you imagine, and it's kind of the game is kind of like a learning game, because you have to think about the list and all things and whatnot, and how you want it to be. And it really depends on how you use your imagination with the game.
Well, cool. So it encourages you to think and come up with stuff.
Yeah, basically.
And what do you buy to go with it? Is there Minecraft accessories, or is it all video stuff?
It's more video games. Now you can just buy, little figurines for that stuff. But if you really want to get into the game, just play the game.
Just play the game, man. Do you have a game name that you play under? Who are you when you play the game?
I am Papa Surf HID.
Nice. Nice. I like it. And how have you been feeling lately? I mean, is it over the past few days? Do you have good days and bad days?
I have really good days, and then I have really bad days, or just bad days.
Yeah, I understand. And it sounds like you work really hard to help your mom and your grandma and everybody else to make sure that you stay, you know, where you need to be medically.
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you have friends that come over and visit when you're having a bad day?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Who's your best friend?
My best friend would have to be...
It's hard to choose.
I can't really say I have one best friend.
There
I
you
actually
go.
Have a lot of best friends.
There you go.
So...
Well, you're an amazing young lady, and I salute how tough you are. You're way tougher than a whole bunch of grown-ups that I hear whining about having a cold or an ache or a pain or whatever, because what you're dealing with, you should never have to deal with. So I salute you. Stay strong, stay tough, and we hope a bunch of people show up for this benefit to help your family out as well.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
What? I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you would like, we would really appreciate it if you would like to come to the benefit.
Well, thank you for the invite. I'm going to try to do that. I'm looking at the schedule right now because I'd love to come out and meet you. It'd be an honor for me to meet you, and Andrea and Dave and everybody to come out as well, because you are something else. And that will give me a chance to shake your grandfather's hand, Master Sergeant Tom Ranville, who is an American hero as well from the Air Force. So you got quite a family there.
Your aunt, your Uncle Jimmy.
And Uncle Jimmy? See, the problem is Grandma and Mom are writing the show for you.
Uh-huh.
See, here's the thing, Tatiana. You and I could just have a conversation, but Grandma and Mom are helping. You know what I mean?
She's laughing. She's embarrassed.
No, she's doing great. Are you kidding? She's an amazing kid. You got an amazing family, Vicky. I'm proud of you guys. And let's tell everybody again where and when.
It's August 13th, which is this Saturday, at Bourbon Street. 4:30 to 8:30. She has her own website, but you can pick that up. It's www.tatianaranville.com. But you can pick it up off of Bourbon Street because they have a website, and you look on August 13th, you'll see One Breath at a Time for Tatiana.
Nice.
And it's got all the information.
All right. And we linked it where, Sandberg? Facebook? Is it Facebook? Where are we?
Yeah.
On the full show post? We got it on our stuff as well.
Right. Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for, you know, we want people to know about this is a very rare disease. And
of course,
her last results, her pressures were really high. So they've really been increasing the amount of meds through her her machine. So she's having some big time side effects.
I'll bet.
So, but she, you know, she is so brave. I got to tell you, she never complains.
No, she got to be an inspiration to both of you, I'm sure, or to all of you.
Well, that's what we said. She really is the warrior.
Yeah, please stop. Yeah, come on.
All her aunts and uncles are all military, army, navy, and but we call her our strong little warrior.
I don't doubt it. And who's Uncle Jimmy? Somebody said Uncle Jimmy.
Oh, well, we have Uncle AJ and Chrissy. They're army, and then Uncle John and Uncle Ty. They're navy.
Oh, so you got a whole military family.
Well, you better believe it. So it's quite a, when we all get together, they all got to compete, you know.
Yeah, well, of course. Well, God bless you guys. And we will do everything we can to publicize it. I'm going to try to be there and drag a few of my friends. But we're going to make sure that we let people know what's happening and they can stop by.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate it. And God bless you and thank you.
All right. You stay strong, Tatiana. Like, she needs to hear that from me. Kid's a lot. That kid's
great.
She's great. Yeah. Talk about unfair, though. I mean, 10 years old, what should your number one concern be at 10? You wake up, what am I going to eat today? Who am I going to see today? It's summer. Who am I going to see today? What am I going to eat today? How am I going to play today? How much Minecraft time am I going to have today? You know, what am I going to laugh at? Who am I going to talk to? Come on, 10.
Well, today she's laughing at you, so that's a good thing.
She should laugh at me. There's no question she should laugh at me. She should laugh at me, and she should point.
Yep. How positive, though. You're right.
She's a great kid.
Positive kid.
Absolutely a great kid. We'll get you the big story and traffic and sports and everything coming up. But at 9:23, we'll take a break and come back on 720 WGN.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on.
9:27, we spent a fair amount of time this morning talking about Paul O'Neill. This is the 18-year-old kid that was shot in an altercation with police. After being in a stolen car, I got a well-written text, but frankly misguided text, in my opinion, from a listener who said, well, maybe he was just, grabbed his father's car. You don't know that he stole the car. You've got someone in a stolen car. The vehicle, the plates match up. It's a stolen car who, when told by police to stop, makes a run for it. And when police try to pursue and pull this individual over, rams the police with the car and then gets out and runs. That smells like a suspect to me. So I had news look over the shooting incident reports from CPD this weekend. Four kids are shot this weekend, a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old, two 17-year-olds, five teens shot, two 18-year-olds, three 19-year-olds, though the 19-year-olds are technically adults. So it's great that the Reverend Jackson and Father Flager are out, you know, pursuing justice for this kid, because I'm very sorry this kid died. I'm very sorry this kid stole a car. I'm very sorry this kid was in a position that he was in that led to this. But the facts remain the same. The kid was committing a crime, and in the process of committing a crime, if the police broke the law or broke the rules, the police should either be fired or put in jail. And I hope the police are pursued to the full extent of the law. But as many texters have pointed out, and certainly there's been contrary views, it's a fair assessment of what happened. The fair assessment is you don't know what happened because you saw a video. Neither do I. But what we know of what was reported, this was not an innocent kid.
Right.
Now, there's a listener, pardon me, there's a listener who writes, I'm a black male, 62 years old. I have, ask me how much I hate our text program. We have this text program here where I'm in the middle of reading something and it jumps like four pages ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to stop this so I can actually read it, and then I'm going to stop complaining about the text program. I'm a black male, 62 years old. I have three sons, well-educated, and the run-in they had, along with myself, with the police, had vehicles surrounded, weapons drawn for no other reason than we're black. Regardless of what happened, the kid did not deserve to die. Again, I want you to hear me. I never said the kid deserved to die. I would never say the kid deserved to die. I don't know what the circumstances were other than the fact that he was unarmed. But the reporting that continues to go on over and over and over again, on the headline, the screaming headline, unarmed black teen shot by Chicago police. Sounds like the Chicago police got up one morning, went look for a black kid and shot him. That's not what happened. You were telling me a story about being pulled over by the police. And by the way, this individual that sent us his text with the three sons, I have no doubt that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt being a black man in America and being profiled has got to be a colossal pain in the ass every day of your life.
Right.
And I'm sorry that happens. But I'm one of the few people in this town who continues to say over and over again, I defend police to the full extent that they're defensible. and the ones that aren't defensible, arrest them or get them out.
Right. There has to be mutual respect. Mutual respect.
But you were talking about being pulled over.
Yeah.
And your purse was where?
I had my purse under the seat of the car. I had made a U-turn. This is many years ago. And I made a U-turn. I put my purse under the seat of the car and I was pulled over. I knew I had made the U-turn. I was pulled over and it was a policewoman came up and she said, "Can I see your driver's license?" I said, "May I reach under the seat because my purse is under the seat?" And she said, "Thank you for asking." Yes. Right. But you know, there
as opposed to some herky jerky movement where you're reaching
right.
down under
the whole thing of I was just reaching to show you my gun.
Right.
You know, all you have to do is just say, "Hey, you know what? I have a legal weapon in the car. I have concealed carry permit. I have my purse under the car." Just say that.
Yeah, and just know that when the lights go off and a cop pulls you over, they are in charge
right.
until that incident that you're now involved in is over.
Right.
You pull over the way they asked you to pull over. You listen to them and you follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something that goes on that's untoward or something that goes on with the police that shouldn't have happened,
right.
then you have every right to defend yourself going down the road. But if you want to avoid trouble, you follow the police rules when the police hit the lights and pull you over.
Absolutely.
So, back to this gentleman with his sons that were pulled over for being black. I can't imagine what you deal with every day. Or occasionally, or whatever the case may be. But I'm sorry you do. But it has very little to do with this because your kids weren't committing a crime.
Right.
And this kid, by all accounts, was. No, he doesn't deserve to die. But let's not act like this was just something the police got up and tried to do that morning. It's 9:32. The news is next with the big story after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
.943, tomorrow on the show, I've been toying with this idea for a while, and I think it's an idea whose time has come. Did I talk to you about this, the Lazy Listener Olympics?
I think you brought this up off
over the
yeah.
course of the Olympic Games starting tomorrow. We will begin by picking the sports, and then we will have the Lazy Listener Olympics. For instance, say yodeling.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're a really good yodeler. So over the course of a couple of days, we'll pick categories for the sports we will engage in, and then we'll probably have, you know, one-on-one playoffs unless it's a really popular category. And we will award whatever the equivalent of the gold medal is, and in this case, the gold medal may be an app gift card or a Lou Malnati's pizza.
That's cool. But it actually has to be a competition. It can't be like best couch potato, like who watches the Olympics.
No, but here's the cool part. Okay. Since you're listening and I can't see you, you could lie and tell me you're doing something really, really well and I wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Like one Lazy Listener Olympics could be, say, I don't know, a staring contest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like I was staring and I kept my eyes open for 6 weeks. I mean, how do I know? I'm not there.
You mean you didn't blink for 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know if that could happen.
Yeah. Well, I've said oftentimes I don't make stuff up, but the listeners do.
What was I thinking, right?
Hey, camp season. Did you go to camp when you were a kid?
I never went to camp.
How about you, Jake? Did you go to camp?
I went to sports camps. I never went to the
Yeah. Ryan, did you go to camps? Ryan Burrow, newsroom. Ryan Burrow,
yeah, sure.
WGNs.
I did a camp occasionally. Sure.
What camp did you go to?
I did sports camps too, and then did some swimming lessons camps and yeah, stuff like that.
I went to a YMCA day camp a couple of times. That was about it.
That was it.
And we just played baseball all day in the summer.
Well, that's not really considered camp. Like you have to go away to
camp. Well, there's
camp.
Day camp and there's camp where you sleep overnight.
See, I think of camp as where you go and you have like the community bathroom and there's the boys' dorm and the girls' dorm.
No, you're thinking of O'Hare.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Yeah, during a delay. Here's a few camps I'd not heard of before. Tell me if you're aware of these. Lord of the Rings camp.
No.
Lord of the Rings camp. Game of Thrones fantasy battle camp.
Now, I believe it.
There's so many camps now.
So if you go to, say, the Game of Thrones camp, do you dress up like the characters?
Yep.
Are these for kids or adults?
I think they're for kids, and then creepy adults show up, and the police are called.
Yeah.
There's ninja camp.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, ninja camp where you dress up like a ninja. I think nunchucks sold separately. So, Ryan, do you have your own nunchucks?
I do not, but I could imagine that everything is well diced there in the cafeteria.
I'll tell you something. You want to go to a camp. Check this out.
Pretty stealth.
Israeli Special Forces Camp.
Oh,
huh?
That'd be cool.
How about this?
That's what I got for you, Jimmy.
For $3,650, you can spend a week at the Israel Challenge Experience becoming a sword of anti-terrorism. You'll be given room and board on a military base, and where you undergo weapons and tactics training taught by Israeli commandos.
I hope they do background checks on people who go.
Honey, have you noticed that Stewie's changed since camp?
Feels that's a little different than the Merrill Hodge football camp I went to a while back.
Really? Not quite as rough?
just a hunch.
How about this? Stunt double camp. Stunt double camp is a stuntman camp where you go into, it's taught by Hollywood stuntmen. And you go in and they're throwing kids off buildings.
I'm surprised.
No, you don't land like that.
You got to have insurance for that.
Right?
No, you just sign a waiver.
Well, you being a butt double and a body double for so many of the A-listers, did you have to go to anything like that?
No, because, you know, I did a lot of butt double work, and, you know, that's not quite, I mean, it's a specialty.
Yeah.
It's an artistic specialty. I'm not making any of these up, by the way. Missouri University of Science and Technology, that would be MUST. High explosives camp. You get to go blow stuff up. How cool would that be?
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
That's very cool.
It's another waiver there.
If a junior or senior in high school with an interest in pursuing a career in explosives, you can enroll in a 5-day course and learn how to handle C4.
What do the ads say? You too can be a Unabomber?
Well, there is that, I suppose, in the current world.
You want to blow stuff up? I'm going to show you how to do it the right way.
Yeah.
There you go.
And thought about that. Look at you, conspiratorialists on the seventh floor.
It's not good.
I wonder if they give you flares. I've always wanted a flare.
You want a flare?
I just want a flare, yeah.
What do you want with a flare?
Yeah, what do you...
I don't know. In case I get in trouble, I can shoot it up in the air.
You can go to, an auto parts store. You could buy a flare.
I guess I could.
Yeah.
Takes kind of the intrigue out of it.
Yeah. Did you see the America's Got Talent show where the lady hit the flare and she hit her husband in the neck?
Oh!
And he, like, burned himself?
No.
It was one of those shooting, you know, talent things.
Oh, and it went wrong.
It, well, yeah, definite mishap there.
Flare's gone wrong.
It was a situation.
Break.
Not good.
At motorsport camp, $2,190 for 2 weeks. Kids drive on dirt and paved courses twice a day. Little kids get behind the wheel.
That'd be kind of cool. Go mudding, off-roading.
Here's a camp you're going to love, and it's done here in America. Cricket camp.
What's that?
$120 a week. They'll teach you how to play cricket.
Oh, I thought you meant crickets, like
bugs. Chirp, chirp.
Yeah, I thought you had to eat them or something.
Cricket camp. No, actual cricket. Dude Ranch camp, $3,000 for 3 weeks in Florida. Teach you how to ride a horse and be a roper. A roper of some sort?
I could see.
Like a Mr. Roper?
You guys, the guys on this show, you, Jake, Ennett,
not for
Big
me.
O, going to a dude ranch.
I reckon.
Get some chaps on.
Bit by mosquitoes.
I would go. See, Jake's appearance of this, the discussion of this camp's different than the one you're talking about.
Oh, see, you made that different. I meant it nice.
You can go to Canoe Island in the San Juan Islands, and you could take French.
Oh, bonjour.
And they'll charge you $3,000 for 3 weeks at Canoe Island French Camp. Why do you have to go there to learn French?
Yeah, Rosetta Stone. It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
$6,000, airfare not included, for China Cultural Immersion Camp, where you go to China and they immerse you in Chinese culture.
Okay.
How about $6,000 for shark camp in the Fijis? In Fiji, not the Fijis. There's only one.
What do you get to do at shark camp?
Swim along with the sharks. Hands-on experience in Fiji. You got to be scuba certified. You get 10 hours of community service. So if you committed a crime recently, it could be for you.
I'm thinking I wouldn't want hands-on experience with sharks.
You think Lou Manfredini teaches at Thingamajig Camp?
He could.
Thingamajig Camp is the foundation of fabricators and manufacturers. The camp's called Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs and helps turn kids into handymen.
Oh, Lou could definitely teach that.
Yeah. Let's see. Camp Biz Smart. Kids are given thrival skills so you can thrive in business. Ooh. The other kids are going to think you're cool.
Did you ever, when you were younger and you went on these, you know, field trips, they put you in the woods as kids and they give you a compass and you have to try and find your way out of the situation?
I think that's when your parents abandoned you to see if you could find your way home.
Oh, that might have been.
Kids Culinary Camp in Vermont, $5,000 for 2 weeks. You'll be exposed to crock pot cooking and they'll teach you how to milk a cow.
Oh, Big O could teach you how to milk a cow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This one I'm not sure about because it seems like it's problematic. Plantation Camp, where everyone lives without electricity and works on a plantation.
And there's your host, Paula Deen.
Yeah, exactly. You think this would be in Mississippi. It's in California for some reason. Mad science camp. You explore chemistry in a lab. Again, you blow stuff up. I like this one. Spy camp.
Ooh.
Spy camp. $500 a week. And at spy camp, they teach you how to break codes.
I wonder if you get cool like pens that shoot, you know, like James Bond type.
That'd be sweet. Circus arts camp in Westchester, New York. $1,230 a month. They'll teach you how to be a circus performer. These are all real. I'm not making these up. Anyway, there you go. That's a little roundup of all the camps around the planet.
Which camp would you take?
I like that blowing up stuff camp, man. That sounds like a good time. Messing around with C4. Homeland Security. My name is Steve Cochran. I'll turn myself in now. 9:52. Bill and Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN. All right, 9:54 now. So the Lazy Listener Olympics. That's the category. Or that's the overarching thing. We'll come up with categories tomorrow. A few more texters. Love the show. My worry is not for the person shot during the commission of the crime. My worry is for the black men shot for no reason other than they're black. As a mom of two young black men, I work hard to have them be more productive member or become productive members of society. It scares me to know that in spite of my hard work and their adherence to rules, that they too could be targeted because of the color of their skin. Bias should never trump professionalism. I support the police, but I believe the additional training is absolutely necessary. And perhaps police serving in crime-fighting communities should be, and again, I apologize, but our text should be traded out occasionally so they don't lose sight of the human and human being. I agree with every word of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a terrific text. And well thought out and well written and reflective of a life that we don't live, that she lives, which is, you know, can you imagine?
Right.
In the current world we live in, you're trying to do the right thing. And that's what I've said over and over again. You take, I don't know where this individual is, but you take the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago and you got people that want the same thing that you want in Lake Bluff, in Kenilworth, in Naperville, and anywhere else in the Chicago area.
Peace.
And you want your kids to go to school and be safe and have a great day and come home and tell you about it and grow up and do better than you did and have families of their own and be successful. You should never have to be in a position where you worry about whether or not they're going to be shot on the way to school or on the way home because some gangbanger misses because he was shooting somebody else. And the cop piece of this, again, I've said it a million times this morning, but I'll say it again. Nothing's worse for the cops than bad cops. And bad cops need to be caught. They need to be thrown out. But it is the tiny, and it doesn't, if it's one, it's too many. But it is the smallest fraction of the overall police force. And what the superintendent said last week, which is key, I don't want to oversimplify it, but what it comes down to is until recently, there's never been like an anonymous suggestion box at work, you know, where you could just put in a critique of the way your business is being run. There's never been an anonymous way consistently, as was explained to us by the superintendent last week, for cops to report other cops.
Right.
And now they're setting that up so they can get more bad cops off the street. Let me see here. I got a couple more texts to get to. I agree 100% with your comment. Young man shot and what community leaders like the two of you mentioned should be done. Well, just the bottom line being investigate both sides.
Right. That's all we're saying.
And Jesse Jackson and everybody else that's out protesting, think about the kids that were shot this weekend and make the community stronger. Mm-hmm. Don't just come out and say police are mowing down black kids.
No, and you're right, too. To your point, it starts at home. It starts when you're young and it starts at home with values and respect.
Yeah. So if this plays out that this kid stole a car from Bolingbrook and was caught in the city and led police on a high-speed chase, and all the things that we think happened did happen. He's a criminal. No, he didn't deserve to die. But he's a criminal, and he created a situation that got amped up to the point where the worst could have happened, and it did. So now the investigation of the police needs to go on.